To live in springtime from Amazing Love Assembly Enugu with Bishop Amechi Mwachuku ministering.
The gates of Hades, we rebuke them, O God, at this hour. We say that every obstacle, every barrier, everything that negates your word in the heart of man, the spirit of judgment, the spirit, O God, that seeks, O God, to counterfeit the truth, will resist it at this hour. Father, we pray that by your spirit, by your enablement, you will reach us, you bless your people. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. We start our studies in the book of Jonah. Jonah is one of those prophets generally referred to as in the classification of the minor prophets. There are about 12 of them, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel being classified as among the major prophets. They are called minor prophets not essentially because of the volume of their writing, even though that's part of it, but also because of the span of time of their ministry. Jonah, as one of them, others include people like Amos, Hosea, Joel, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, and the rest of them. The book of Jonah is generally divided into four different chapters. The book of Jonah is a monumental book. It was referred to by the Messiah himself, Jesus Christ. In fact, in one of his teachings, Jesus said that this generation that was asking for a sign shall not get any other sign except the sign of Jonah. Consequently, Jonah then assumes an eschatological importance because it's not only written for his time, but Jesus said that the book of Jonah also stands for us in this age as the eschatological divine sign concerning the Messiah and the kingdom of God. Jonah was a prophet in a way unlike none other, and yet in a lot of ways like every one of us. The Jonah in us, the Jonah in him, God called him to go and preach to the people of Nineveh. Jonah felt aggrieved that he should go to Nineveh, part of bordering Iraq and Babylon. Jonah felt that these people, who were noted for wickedness, extreme cruelty, who have been living in evil, didn't need the opportunity of repentance. Yeah, it's okay, the judgment of God is coming, and that was good message enough for Jonah. But that he should go and tell them that they should repent, that was just too much for a Jewish prophet, knowing what the Jews are suffering in the hands of these people. The best news he could have heard was that God was now going to judge them after 40 days, not that they will repent. What Jonah did was what most of us will normally like to do. Jonah took a flight in the opposite direction. He was not prepared for his so-called enemies to have the opportunity of a second chance. And yet the Bible told us that God does not delight in the death of a sinner, but rather that they will come to repentance and leave. You know, sometimes if we are not careful, we look at Jonah and call him all manner of names and say, "Bye, Tofiakwa, this kind of prophet, what kind of a man of God was he? They told him to go and speak to people so they can turn to God, and rather he hated them so much and chose to fly in the opposite direction." There is a Jonah in every one of us. The Jonah that would like to see a kind of vindictive spirit, that would like to see judgment on those who hate us, judgment on those who misuse us, would like to see the hand of God fall. Does God need to kill my enemy to prove that I'm a man of God? Do I need somebody who hates you dying in an accident to confirm that God loves you? What do we gain in such vindictive attitude? That's where Jonah comes into play. The book of Jonah also comes in because inside, the sovereignty of God is so well manifest. Jonah thought he could thwart the counsel of God. Jonah thought he could change the plan of God. What Jonah did not realize is that every purpose of God will come to be. No purpose of his can be thwarted. Also, Jonah failed to realize that God was not just sovereign over matter, but God was sovereign over everything, over his creation, over the wind, over the sea, over the land, over our life. The message of Jonah is a reflection not only of the sovereignty of God, because we saw what happened when he took flight. God caused a great storm to make sure that Jonah did not get to the opposite direction. The counsel of the Lord is what must be done. As we come into this book of Jonah, I'd like to encourage you to realize man does not have ultimate authority. There is a God in heaven, and only his will shall be done. The people that Jonah was sent to were not seeking God. The people of Nineveh, continuing in their riotous debauchery, life of reveling, vice, evil. Even when Jonah brought the message, we saw they were not quite ready for it, but they received the message. And again, you find out that that's exactly like our God. He said in the book of Romans that while we are still sinners, God demonstrated his love for us by sending his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us. My friend, God loves you more than the devil hates you. Jonah, in the book of Jonah, we find God loving the people of Nineveh. We find God transcending ethnic prejudice. We find God transcending nationalistic interests, myopic ideas. We find God speaking to his prophet and saying, "You are my prophet, all right, but you are a messenger. You did not send yourself. You go and do what I ask you to do. You may not like the Ninevites, but they are my creation, and I want them saved. And by the way, I'm interested in their cattle." God shows his love for mankind, love for his creation, beyond our wildest imagination. In the book of Jonah, we also see the power of God, that evil has an expiring date. Whatever evil situation, when Jonah was inside the belly of a fish, he actually thought he was praying his last prayers. He did. But someday, as there was a repentance, we saw that the same God that commanded a fish to pick up Jonah also commanded the same fish to throw out Jonah. Now some people look at the story of Jonah and they tell us it's a pure mythical story, that it never happened. I do not believe that in a broadcast or two we'll be able to debunk such foolery. If Jesus found it necessary to speak about the sign of Jonah and quoted Jonah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of Christianity, the Alpha and Omega of it, the author of our faith, and somebody somewhere imagines that the book is pure fable and the story is not true, why do you want me to waste my moments and start answering issues that the Master did not deem important? If Jesus referred to the book of Jonah, it is enough to assume that he believed that the story happened. And that is enough. The book of Jonah also exposes us to the foolery of lack of understanding of the issues of our life. God showed Jonah and assured him that, "Yes, you had your way, but I have my way. I love the people of Nineveh. And as we approach this book, I want to ask you to do yourself a favor. And I'll be very glad you did. I'd like you to read the entire book of Jonah. It's a very short, just very small four chapter books. And you find that inside it is a lot. The book of Jonah also shows us an erring prophet, a man of God, who failed God in his first outing, ran off, missed the mark. But you know what? In Jonah chapter 3, you run into such statements. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying. That's amazing. Why should God call Jonah the second time? After all, he failed. After all, he ran away. He abandoned his commission. Why will God be interested when there are so many volunteers all over the place? But you know, that is the amazing love of God. God wants to recoup his fallen soldiers, remobilize them, and make sure that they win the expected prize. The book of Jonah shows us, you may be down, but you are not out. The book of Jonah says to you, wherever you may be, God still has need of you. Maybe you are once a saint, on fire for the Lord. But the adversities and the transversities of life have made you, you've almost become cynical of anything. I want to suggest to you, you need not be. The word of the Lord is still coming to you a second time through the book of Jonah. There is hope. There is ministration. There is hope. I want you to arise. I want you to believe this great God. I want you to know that his counsel is what will stand. The book of Jonah speaks to us not only about the love of God, not only about his sovereignty, not only about his power, but it also speaks to us about the authority of the Almighty God. The book of Jonah draws us into conflict with our true feelings, ourselves, our spirit of vendetta, our vengeance, our revengeful attitude. Remember, we are talking about Jonah, a prophet of God, a man of God, called of God. We are not talking about charlatans. We are talking about a man that Jesus Christ referred to, was called by God. He shows you his nature, his character. Yet he was still a man of God, even when he was running in opposite direction to his commission. The prodigal was still his father's son, even though he was not eating with pigs. I want to suggest to you, wherever you are, that God made you. It's never too late to return back to your maker. God loves you more than the devil hates you. And the book of Jonah is saying to you, you can get back to God. Doesn't matter how far you have gone from the Creator, there is hope. It doesn't matter how far you have moved away from the Master, there is hope. It doesn't matter what depth you have fallen into, there is hope. The message of Jesus Christ is still the same. I did not come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He said, I have not come to call the healthy, for they that are well have no need of a physician. My friend, do you have a sense of your lostness? And you are disappointed that you failed your Creator in so many more ways than that you can ever imagine. I want to say to you, don't give up on yourself. God loves you. And there is a tomorrow. And there is a future. The book of Jonah, as we begin exploring it, is a world of mine. It's a book that I'm sure the Lord has ministered to me and ministers to us, can make us arise from wherever we are and know that God is a missionary God. God sent Jonah to minister to a people outside his culture, outside his territory, outside his nationality. Our God is a missionary God. Our God is interested in evangelism. The Bible said that he that winneth souls is wise. As a child of God, when did you witness to somebody last about Christ? When did the Lord use you as a vessel of honor to lead somebody to a knowledge of the Holy One of Israel? Let's not fail our commission. And even if you have, like Jonah, let's come back. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, and God is calling you today from the precipice. Let's get back. Get back to your first love, my friend. God loves you. wants to use you. And perhaps you say, I don't even know what you're talking about. I'm like a Ninevite. I don't care about God. When the people of Nineveh heard the news, and they heard about Jonah, and they heard about God and the judgment, the Bible told us, as we are going to see later, that they repented from the elders of them, the king, everybody, declared a fast. The Bible said in the book of Jeremiah, I'll tell you whom I have regard for. I have regard for those who tremble at the word of God. Do you tremble at the word of God? Or have you become so familiar with the word of God that nothing scares you? You believe hell is fiction and heaven is not real. I want to assure you, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, judgment. If you have never given your life to Jesus, you are running a risk. The Bible says that the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Not one. The Bible cannot be right and you are right. Neither can you be right in assertion of your self-righteousness. For what you are saying is that God is wrong. What you are saying is that if God had looked well enough in creation, he could have found righteous you. Consequently, since he didn't look well enough and crucified, allowed his son to be crucified for the redemption of mankind, you might as well start a litigation against God and charge him for whatever crime you think he has committed. But I'd like to assure you, wherever you are, that none of us can make it to heaven on the basis of our own righteousness. For by grace are we saved through faith. And that is not of our own. It is a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. People of God aren't perfect, but they are being made perfect. The book of Jonah shows us amply the folly of a prophet of God, the power of God, the redemptive character of God, its evangelistic nature and thrust, and the glory of God. I pray that God will touch you today, if you have not given your life to Jesus, to surrender to Jesus Christ right now. To say, what must I do? It's very simple. Being a Christian can be very simple, but let me also assure you, being a Christian is the most important decision you can make in your earth life. Being a Christian simply means acknowledging what God says about you and about me. And what does it say? It says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that Jesus Christ is knocking at the door of your heart right now. And that as many as believed him, as many as received him, he gave the power to become the children of God. Conversion is not just mere assenting. Conversion involves your emotion. It involves your intellect. It involves also your will. You have to know the Jesus we are talking about. We are talking about Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You have to know he was born of the Son of Mary. He was born by the outspeaking word of God. Jesus was sinless. He died on the cross for your sins and my sin. You have to acknowledge that. You have to realize that he rose again from the dead. And after 3 days, and at some time he ascended into heaven. And right now he's sitting at the right hand of God, where he's going to come again. This you must know. You must also come to an appreciation that this same God is your creator. And he is asking that you willingly surrender your life to him. That he, God, can be the right person ruling, controlling, and taking care of your life. What do I mean by your will? Your will and my will simply means we don't get up and say we want to do this or be that. You now have to ask, what is the will of God in my life? Where I live, whom I marry, where I'm going to. Therein lies the victory of the living God. And that is where your will comes in. As you surrender your will to the living God in the name of Jesus Christ. And also, it comes to terms with the issue of your emotion. You love him. You love his church. You love the people. You love the brotherhood. You love fellowship. ụka adụrọkwa n'obi. Ebe ọbụla ị nọ n'akala onwe gị, ọ bụrụ eziokwu. The Bible says, do not neglect the assembling of yourself together. If you are really prepared to make that commitment today, then Jesus Christ says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. You can right now receive him and be born again. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I speak to you, O God, for those who have been listening tonight, listening this day, O God, and I am asking, how do I reach the King of Glory? Lord, open their hearts, break down the walls of partition, demolish every vain imagination, resist, O God, every power of the enemy, every altar speaking against them, O God. We ask that there shall be a yielding to the living God. I pray for the Christians. I pray for those who are asking which way forward. Like Jonah, they have gone in opposite direction. Your will for their life is this way, but this is where they are. They are in Tarshish instead of going to Nineveh. They married the wrong persons, living in the wrong places, doing the wrong job. My God, intervene in a mighty way and bring your people back on course again. Thank you, because faithfully see that I've started this walk in our life, and I know, O God, you will bring it to a perfect completion. In Jesus' name, amen.
Join us again same time next week on Living Springtime. We invite you to worship with us at the Praise Temple of Amazing Love Assembly, Transekuru, Enugu, on Sunday by 8:30 a.m., Monday prayer power by 5 p.m., Wednesday Holy Convocation by 12 noon, Wednesday Bible study by 5 p.m., and Friday night vigil by 12 midnight. Remember, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. I'm